That's, we're gonna sing those like that. I just sang one.
You just did it. Toki
song. Yeah. Not Toki.
Oh. You ready for the countdown?
What is a Toki?
Toki.
A turtle?
It's a summer rabbit.
Oh.
A summer rabbit.
It's just a summer rabbit.
What's a winter rabbit?
Yeah. That's what it is, a summer rabbit.
Really?
Why are you questioning me? What is going on here?
Where am I?
What is the meaning of this? Go.
5, 4, 3, 2.
San Toki Toki ya, 어디는 가느냐, 감춤 뛰면서. I don't know the rest. You sing your Korean song.
코끼리 아저씨 코가 손이래 과자를 주면은 걸어봤지요.
It's a good one. It's a classic.
But you're supposed to go like this.
What, like that?
Are you dab?
Do you dab?
I think you dab out during it.
Dab
oh, you do that with the. Oh, that's an elephant on trunk.
Dab king.
That's a good one. Welcome to another episode of Tiger Belly. Slap King Bob Lee in the house.
Blah, blah.
And blah, 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 blah. And then we got we got Kalila and we got Gilbert. I think Gilbert and I are good right now. We're good, right?
We're good.
We're,
yeah.
Okay.
We're okay.
You got some shit for last week though, huh?
No, he didn't. He got a lot of love.
I know, but I know
quite
a couple,
the opposite.
I know a couple of things that he got some Twitters.
Oh.
Like what? Oh, because you read them too?
I read some of them.
I was afraid, so I didn't even look. I was afraid.
No, everybody showed you.
Well, anyway, we got a guest too, so it's not about us sometimes.
It's about
a guest that I've been looking forward to having and also dreading at the very same time. She is
what a laugh.
She's a family. She's family, but also an enemy. But also love.
That's how families are. It's really difficult to love family.
That's true. And we have Esther Koo here. So give her a round of applause, everybody. And also, I've known Esther. I think I first saw Esther on Last Comic Standing.
Oh, shit.
Somebody said, hey, you got to see this Korean chick. So I think I YouTubed it or whatever. And you told a very funny joke about Barack Obama's name and your mom, whatever, saying it. And I go, oh, she's really funny. And I felt like I was really nice to you when we first met, no? Or
you
how
were,
did we first meet?
You were always so nice to me.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Right?
Is she being serious?
am I? No, that's real.
Okay.
Just say it again, though.
You
say,
were always so were, nice to me.
Well, first of all,
yeah.
Okay, well, before I even met you
right.
and you heard about me, of course, I knew who you were from
Legend.
Mad TV.
Legend.
Legend.
From watching you on Mad TV.
Yeah.
And not only that, but my little brother,
yeah.
we would always make fun of him because he looked like you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if he like raised his eyebrows like
yeah.
you do
yeah.
and make a stupid face,
yeah.
then
yeah.
we're all like, oh, look, it's Bobby Lee.
Yeah. And you would do it in a Korean accent.
Yeah.
And so
and our family, we would all laugh.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
And then but then I thought everything was cool between us, and then you tried to start a war with me.
When?
Oh, shit.
Online.
Well, you tried to start a war with me.
Oh, it was about, I remember, because you said that she doesn't date Asian men.
Mm. Yeah.
So you know, without even knowing much more about her, you just assumed she didn't date Asian men.
No, I already, right, do you date Asian
well,
men?
Well, that's what my joke was about, that
all
you
right.
had a problem with.
That's
on
right.
Last Comic Standing,
right.
and then you were bitching about me on Ooh. Opie and Anthony. And then they all started making fun of you, and Norton was like, she's hilarious, because you were like, yeah, she can't go around and dissing Asian guys. And they're like, why not?
This was my bad.
No, but...
I fucked up.
No. Why?
No, I apologize. No, when I'm in the wrong, I'll apologize.
No, it was great.
Because then you went on
it's
there.
It's exposure.
It's exposure for both of us, is it
yeah.
not? And at the end of the day.
It's all promotion.
At the end of the day, you know, my gut instinct was right
Isn't
about
that,
it.
Like, Twitter beef is the greatest thing you can possibly
right.
do to your career.
Yeah.
You should have just kept going with it. You really should have, like, blown it up.
Right.
Some more.
But I did
oh
too lazy.
Oh, my God, I should have.
Yeah, like Korean wars, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
Let me ask you this. Other Korean people in the business or Asians, how have they reacted to you?
Not like you.
No, but other people. So you... What, you found hostility?
No, no, no.
But not that much love?
Right, exactly. Right. You love me the most.
Yeah, I know I did.
I know I did and I do.
I know I did and I do. And I know that I'm Slept King. Everyone knows that.
Yeah. Slept
and
King.
I know that my gut instincts are right. What have we learned today so far?
That your gut instincts are right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can't love family.
Yeah. No, yeah. Here's what it is that if when you see an Asian person in show business, my number one rule is I can't stand FOBs.
Why? I am a fob, bro.
No.
But you don't talk like one.
You don't talk like one. And you don't act like one.
You don't look like one and you act civilized.
Right.
you act civilized.
Yeah, you act civilized. You act civilized. No, in just in terms
I would
of,
never be able to tell you're a fob.
Wait, what do fobs do? Like chuck their shit across?
Yeah.
No, but they, you know, they wear Soviet clothing and they're like.
They stick your fork in your food and like.
Wait, what?
Eat it yeah. without permission. They just get in your personal space.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They have like weird racist ideas about things, you know, like my parents, like Vietnamese people they are animals,
or they think white people are the devil,
stuff like that.
And it's just like fucking stop.
And so like when I that's why even somebody that we know that I talk about a lot, you know, I know
is
that
he a fob considered
no
he's
but
not
to
a fob.
Me
you know who we're talking
he
about.
Has fob somebody
okay
he has fob. Energy.
Fob.
Okay. Think Asian and Last Comic Standing.
Oh, right.
Wow, that was really quick. That was
really quick connection there.
Very, very fast.
And he just has a fob way of, you know what I mean? That's why I love people like Esther because she's weird and she's got a specific, you know what I mean?
Where did you grow up? Chicago.
Chicago.
Oh, whoa. You're from Chicago too? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And you live there for most of your life, and you just came to. Where do you live now?
Here.
So you don't. What happened in Miami?
I remember because
I got a job here.
I know.
I remember
but what,
you were in Miami because you were performing there, and you were like, "Oh, we should go eat with Esther."
Yeah, yeah.
Because she lives out here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you guys dissed me.
No, I think you had other plans. It was New Year's Eve.
Time out. What?
Yeah, I think we did.
No, it was New Year's Eve.
No, we fucked it.
What'd you do?
We said fuck her.
And I cried for 7 days and seven nights.
No, you weren't sad about it. Let's be real. But so now what happened to the... You had a guy...
You don't know what I get sad about.
That is true.
What do you get sad about?
Everything. I get sad about my life.
What parts of your life are you saddest about right now?
Well...
Oh, it's got really dark. She's about to cry.
No, tell me.
I should say it in Korean.
Yeah, say it in Korean.
Right?
Yeah,
Korean. Because they don't know Korean.
Right.
And we keep it a code word.
Yeah, say it to me. Say it to me.
He doesn't understand Korean that well either.
I want to understand. Everything you say, I swear to God, I'll understand. Say it to me.
Okay. 나는 엄마가 죽었어.
언제?
1 month ago.
I didn't know that.
I know.
Oh. I'm sad too.
Hey, do you understand?
I think we all passed away.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't know who, but I'm sorry.
But I didn't know that. How?
Heart attack.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh man. So can I tell him what you said?
The whole audience is like,
"What
did Esther? She's probably." She's probably
because why she collapsed on the ground.
I know.
She collapsed on the ground.
She Esther's gone.
Yeah, Esther's gone.
We lost our guest.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I have to tell them what you said.
Okay, tell them what I said.
Yeah. Her mailman got sick. No, her mom died.
I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry.
A month ago.
Yeah.
She had a heart attack. Wow. I don't even know how you're up and about.
Mm. I did a comedy show the day I found out.
Did you feel like you had then?
I recorded a podcast and I was crying on it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, the day of.
So how did you, who called you?
My little brother. Oh, the one you met.
I love
in
him.
In San Francisco?
Yeah. He's like a warlock.
Yeah.
Yeah, her little brother's like a little scientific warlock.
Yeah.
And I really want to be with him.
He wanted him on this podcast.
We should have him. He's magical.
Where did your mom live? Were you guys like a really close-knit family? Like
Chicago.
Hmm.
Well, here's, I mean, you want to get it. I mean, I'm going to have to ask you some questions. Is that okay?
Yeah.
You guys weren't in good communication though, right? From what you told me, I think a couple years ago, maybe.
Right.
Like you had resentment toward them.
Yeah.
And so there wasn't communication.
My memories of her are more fond when I was little, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, because I didn't really spend much time with her later in life.
Yeah. Well, they probably, like my parents, were a little weirded out about your choices in life, correct?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, what was the disconnect then? I mean, if growing up, you guys were super like close, or you had fond memories of her, and then later
in life. I mean, not
life,
everything was fond.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know? I have my dad used to beat the shit out of me with a fucking baseball bat and shit like that, and
right.
golf clubs, and my dad was a fucking terror. But there were little gaps of. You know.
You can get him back while he's still alive. I can't get my mom back anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I sent her a letter through my, you know, I worked out stuff in therapy and my therapist told me to write a letter. And I wrote both of my parents a letter and I sent it.
Before?
Yeah. Like, this was like 2 years ago I sent it.
Mm. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So when is the last time you had to talk to your mom before she passed?
I don't know, maybe couple months.
So when you sent that letter, was there like a reconciliation or some type of like closure between like the both of you guys? I don't know what happened like in your past. He makes it seem like maybe it was not an easy upbringing, but was there, when you sent the letter, was there some type of like, oh, we understand you now and we get it? Or
they said that to me?
Mm.
No, my mom was like really oblivious. Like, her response to my letter, because, like, in my letter, my therapist told me to write, like, what you did to me, how it made me feel, what I want you to do about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how it's affected my life now. Mm-hmm. And my letter had four parts to it, and I wrote that, and, you know, I just explained, like, all the things that, why I was hurt, and, you know, all the pain that she had, like, brought into my life, and... you know, and she just like wrote a check for $100 and sent it, and you know, she's just like, oh, nice to hear from you.
That's like so Korean.
It's like the Fabi.
It's,
yeah.
So
like,
yeah,
it's so Korean.
Yeah, it's so Korean.
Yeah, it's so Korean.
And the funeral was so Korean because, you know, my parents were missionaries. So,
oh.
Oh my God.
So everybody from the church was there who I grew up with.
Yeah.
And I saw, you know, John Lee's parents, and John Lee's mom was always such a bitch.
Yeah.
Right? There's a million John Lee's, so nobody will know who I'm talking about.
I was like, it's the famous cop. I don't know who this is.
Right?
I'm just nodding like, I know at least three John Lee's.
I know 50 John Lee's.
So, yeah. So John Lee was an only child, and he lived in a fucking mansion compared to everybody else.
Yeah.
Everybody else was a poor missionary living four kids in a bedroom, and then railroad style, another bedroom with four kids.
Yeah.
But John Lee had the fucking life. He had a rainbow painted in his bedroom wall.
Whoa.
We were like,
that's
what?
Yeah.
Like, let's go to... We were like, John Lee's parents are like white.
They
give him stuff.
Yeah.
And don't just shove him in a corner and say, shut up, you know, stop bothering me, you little piece of shit.
Yeah.
So I saw John Lee's mom, and John Lee's mom is always like really, she's always like put together. Mm-hmm. Like, she only wanted one kid, raised a doctor. So,
wow.
So everybody came up to me, and you know, it's crazy how everybody looks the same.
Yeah.
I'm like, I haven't seen these people in 20 years.
Yeah.
And they look exactly the same. Yeah. And I know exactly who they are.
Do they, most of them probably know what you do?
No.
Wow.
What?
No, they do.
Well, you know
they
what?
They fucking do.
They don't say shit.
And they don't say shit.
No, they did say shit.
What'd they say?
Well, first of all, because I was decked out, right? Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Of course you were.
Describe
what decked out is. How are you decked
out?
I was wearing a tight black dress.
Killing it.
And
killing the funeral game.
Black,
killing it.
Black heels, and I had a black veil.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. My sister said I looked like a young widow.
Oh, okay. A very rich young widow.
Thank you. So this one Korean missionary comes up to me and they go, "Oh, she's from Hollywood."
Oh, killing it. Yeah.
Look at that young widow. Yeah.
No, but I caused so much problems for myself at my mom's funeral.
Why?
Because of what I posted on Facebook.
What did you post on Facebook?
And I pissed off my entire family. Mm-mm. I just wrote something nice about my mom. I thought it was nice.
What'd you say?
Right? I said, my mom passed away today. She had a heart attack. It was sudden. And I said, she always liked to go to casinos. She always spent her time between casinos and church until she got kicked out of church and she banned herself from every casino.
It's nice.
Very sentimental.
It's a great obituary.
I think it's a Hallmark card.
You should be an obituary.
That was just one part.
It's sweet.
Good.
Right?
It's sweet.
Yeah.
I love it.
No, but my family, they are very... like she was in Gamblers Anonymous.
Yeah. But you don't ever say that out loud in like amongst like other... You're not supposed to like put out other people's business, right?
Especially in Asians.
Especially Asians.
When I went to rehabs and stuff in high school and stuff, and none of my cousins and aunts, because I have 28 first cousins, nobody knew. It's just because they hide it.
Mm-hmm. It's all about hiding it.
So what was the response
and
you got?
My whole lifestyle, I'm all about stripping the shame from everything and just talking about anything on stage.
Of course, that's what your job is.
That's what I do.
Yeah, I know.
So, but you know, they're all still very conservative, and everybody got pissed off at me. And when I went home, my dad was like, "So your sister's the only one who's gonna do the eulogy," and I was like, "Are you kidding me? I can't even get a spot at my mom's funeral."
Wow.
Did you prepare one?
You prepared one? Yeah.
Who's the club manager?
You have an agent yet? Did you call your agent? you should have called me. I would have called CAA, and I would have made it happen, dude.
Yo, you would have called John Lee's mom.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, Matt Blake, my agent, would have.
Yeah.
We're hip-pocketing Esther.
We're hip-pocketing Esther.
So I got canceled from the eulogy.
Oh my God, that's
terrible. And my dad like made up this lie and was like, they only allow one person at a eulogy. And I'm like, that is such a lie.
It's a made up rule.
Yeah. Because I've been to funerals
where like 25 people speak.
Yeah. And, you know, they usually say, "Does anybody want to say something?"
Yeah.
I'm like, I'll just storm the stage then, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Whoa.
Did you?
No. I had to
give me the mic.
I had to convince them. It was a struggle. But my friend Grace Park came over, and she helped me.
There's also 50 other Grace Parks.
I know a couple Grace Parks.
Yeah, me too.
Is it the Hawaii Five-0 Grace Park?
No.
Damn it. Well, then it doesn't matter. Don't say her name.
If it's not Hawaii Five-0 Grace Park,
shut the
fuck up. Just
say some Asian chick. Yeah.
Okay, so I went on Periscope, and I narrowed down my...
Wait. You went Periscope at your mom's funeral?
No.
Thank God.
At my hotel, stupid.
Mm. Oh, well, still the same day?
No, it's not the same day. But I'm just like working through this, like struggling as to figure out like, hey, what jokes are appropriate to say at a eulogy?
Can I just say something? No jokes?
No jokes. Hey, Bob, I think that's great advice.
Yeah, maybe no jokes?
That's good advice.
Okay, well, but first of all, you knew my mom.
Yeah.
You would know that she would want jokes at her funeral. Mm. Okay, my mom, I get my personality from my mom.
Yeah.
And that's probably why we like butt heads and didn't get along.
Yeah.
Because I just reminded her of her, but like 2.0 version.
Yeah.
And like without the fob accent, you know? So.
Wow.
So I went through my whole set list.
This sounds like a bit.
Maybe not call it that. Maybe not call it that.
What through my eulogy set list.
Yeah.
So Grace Park was like, no, take that one out.
Don't say anything.
Yeah. Don't say anything with sex or, you know, nothing. So I cleaned it up like this was like a TV clean vibe.
Yeah.
Right?
You did a Tonight Show set.
So
a Fallon set, okay.
And then I went to my dad's house and I said, can I do a dress rehearsal?
What? Whoa.
Esther.
Yeah?
Oh, it's just to get their approval.
No, it's fine.
You mean just to get their approval?
You don't understand the culture of my family.
I get it.
Yeah. No, you don't get it.
I do get it.
You're saying whoa.
Well, I'm just saying whoa for the audience.
Oh.
That's listening.
They're all going like,
to me, I'm going, yeah. To me, I'm like, yeah, exactly what I would do.
I asked my dad for makeup, change the lights.
Right. I would screen test myself.
My dad was making jokes. My dad goes, oh, you know, I think it's good she died because she was always complaining about body pains. You know, because she had arthritis and diabetes, so.
Oh, yeah.
But.
How many brothers and sisters are there?
3 brothers and 1 sister.
And they were all there, obviously?
Yeah.
Everyone just devastated?
Yeah.
Because I know that your brother, the one that I met, the warlock.
How is he a warlock?
Why do we call him warlock?
There's something magical about him. He's like from a different. Like he's from Doctor Strange.
Oh.
Like he can do the little like
open
the circle,
the doors,
the circle,
open
yeah,
the doors
all that
and
stuff.
Shit. Yeah.
And you haven't met him, you don't know. He has a little fucking ring thing and the little eye necklace and then the cape.
Oh shit.
Yeah, and so what I'm saying is that he didn't have a relationship right with them either.
Right, exactly. Remember that.
Yeah, I do remember. That's why I just said it. I remember
yeah,
it.
Yeah, wiggle it.
Yeah. And so I mean, did all the kids have that kind of relationship with their parents at that point?
No. When you have 5 kids, you have different relationships with your kids.
Okay, yeah. I mean, this is the way you just talk to me.
I'm sorry.
Just don't like when people talk to me like
that.
Where do you
sorry.
Fall? Are you old?
I'm sorry.
Oh, you're scolding me and like, that's fine.
I don't know where that
you're
came
going through
from.
A hard time.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Can you say it a different way though?
Let's rewind.
Yeah, rewind it. Just say it in a different way. When you have 5 kids, what?
I think when you have 5 kids,
that's better. So much better.
You treat them differently.
Good, thank you.
Don't you think so?
Yes.
Where do
I
you
do.
Live? Where are you from in California?
All right. So so some of your siblings were had a communication that you didn't have and whatnot. Yeah.
Where do you fall?
I'm the second oldest.
Oh, okay.
But my parents never wanted a girl. I don't know if your parents were cool with you being a girl.
No, my mom definitely wanted boys. But it turns out I have a 6-foot tall sister who is like basically like we both look like linebackers. So she was fine with it. And she put us always like in sports and stuff. So that was her way of coping with having girls.
So you're not like a frail little girl.
No,
you could take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And beat up your boyfriend if he doesn't take care of you when
exactly.
you're sick.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Exactly.
Whoa.
Oh, let me punch him.
Whoa. Hey.
Go ahead. Okay, that's it.
That was so
you get one
hard.
Shot. That really was hurt.
No.
It makes me angry.
That
but
really was
it
hurt.
Really makes me angry, but her mom died. So
you get a pass.
You get a pass there.
No, but I've been through years of therapy, and I think the fact that I've written a letter to my mom and I sent it and I like went through this whole mourning process when I wrote that letter of the mom that like I never had or you know the mom that just addressing like you know you neglected me and this happened and I felt like I had already said my goodbye to her and so it was easier for me when I found out that she had physically died
yeah.
It was easier for me to deal with it than some of my siblings who were just completely like
Devastated.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And so I guess I understand why they would be mad at me about what I wrote.
Yeah.
Because
you had sort of at least had your peace with it 2 years ago.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Now, your relationship with your father, has it gotten better since your mom's passing or?
No, it's just the same. I mean, no, he's more open to talking about things.
Good.
Than my mom was.
That's good.
My mom was more oblivious, and my dad's a little more rational, and he like.
Especially now that your dad's still with you, And maybe there can be a deeper relationship there down the road, because you know that life is fickle and anything can happen. And
well, for you, when your dad got sick, were you able to kind of let go of all your resentments? Is that when it happened, or did you get let it go
when my brother and I when ago? My brother and I when I killed my brother's dog?
Oh my god. He did. Yeah, Dolly. Yeah.
I killed his dog, and then when we went to Phoenix,
Esther, like, she hates animals.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna get into that. We're gonna get into that too. That's fucking weird. But
I don't hate animals.
You call them what?
Scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are fighting
words. In Korean you said it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, musuo. You said, yeah. But and when we saw my dad, the doctor said he's gonna die or whatever. Mm-hmm. At that point, you just kind of let go of all those resentments.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it doesn't mean anything. And then my brother and I were able to grieve right then. I had never cried that hard before, and I'd never felt that kind of pain before. My brother and I were on the ground, like holding his legs, because they said that he was gonna die. He's still alive. They lied, but
fine. Fuck that hospital.
In 3 years, he's still alive.
He's still hanging in there, but I can't imagine what.
What's the holdup? Jeez.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, here's another Facebook status. Jesus Christ, Esther. Hashtag. Come on already.
Yeah, yeah.
But if something, I mean, I don't wish for this, but if something should happen to your dad, please have her write the Facebook post about it.
I will allow you to do that. Oh. But I can't imagine my dad passing, and I just feel, I'm so sorry that happened. This guy, I know.
Igor Saddam.
Can I just say
yeah,
something?
Read that.
So text. I wanted to read this text that Esther sent me earlier today. It's Esther. Just really weird. So excited for TBE. Thank you for having me on.
How do you read it like that?
Because it's all exclamation marks.
Is it all caps?
Caps. No, not caps. Not exclamation. Caps. It's not. You can bully me all you want. I ain't a little bitch like Gilbert.
Whoa.
Well, I didn't know you were going to read these texts. Well, I would have gone harder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why am I a little
bitch? You guys did.
Yeah, we met.
Okay.
Yeah. We met where? How?
CBS Diversity.
CBS Diversity in a basement.
Yeah, creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think I actually saw you in the audience, but I was like, why does she look so familiar? I was like, why is there another Asian person?
I think it was
Asian
a meeting,
here?
Like Big Headed Asians Anonymous.
You don't have a big head.
Or something.
You don't have a big head.
I know, I walked into the wrong one.
Oh. and you were the only one, Gilbert.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we saw CBS. I think that day also, Jesus was there randomly. Yeah,
another
yeah.
big head, though, super another big head.
Jesus yeah. was there. Yeah, then we met at the bar
oh
after.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But now you're on a show.
Yeah.
And the reason why I know she's on a show is because I have a friend who her name is Manon Matthews.
Mm-hmm.
And she's an Instagram. No, she was a huge Vine star.
Vine star, huge.
She was like 7 million.
7 million yeah. wow. followers.
Like a Brittany Ferlon.
Yeah, like a yeah. Brittany Ferlon. And I know her from a club that I'm a part of, but I don't want to get into that. But
Mile High Club?
No, I don't want to get into it. But I think she's really talented. Who else is in it?
Hannah Pilkis.
She's very funny too. She's a stand-up.
Who's done tons of Vines with her.
Yeah, she's
yeah.
very
so funny.
Funny. And so I saw photos.
I always tell her she's like a real-life Amelia Bedelia.
That is true. But when I saw a photo with Esther with the two girls that I knew, I go, well, whatever that is, that's going to be good. I really think these two girls
God.
Are so strong.
Thank
I think
you.
She's strong. Who's the fourth
and
girl?
And Tracy Stump.
Yeah, I know her too. Yeah, she's good too.
Oh my God. I know. It's an all-female sketch show
yeah.
that
crazy.
We're doing. And they write for us.
Yeah.
And
there's, it's, I'm not kidding you. I mean, in terms of Vine stars, the two especially.
Huge.
No, I just think that
they're
so funny.
They're so yeah. funny. No,
so funny.
It's so funny. And the writers on the show are so fucking funny. Like, I'm
yeah.
like dying. Like,
what's the
show
called?
It's called Sorry Not Sorry.
Oh,
yeah.
Good name, too.
Yeah.
What network?
It's on Seriously.tv.
Yeah. Well, what? See, you see what he just said?
I said
his
what
energy
network?
Right there. What network? Like, because he wants to know, like,
right.
Yeah.
The show business.
Can I get an audition for an extra? Background
he's
extra?
He's so angry and so resentful, so young. It's so sad.
Hey, it's Asian on TV,
can you
man.
Not be happy for people?
I'm happy for Esther.
Are you sure?
I have a question for all three of you guys,
yeah.
since everyone's in the industry. I'm not a comedian.
You're not a podcast celebrity.
You're in the fucking industry.
You're a podcast
celebrity. I'm tired of this shit that you fucking do every fucking day. Like, I'm just, you know, a girl. I don't even know what I'm doing. You're a celebrity now.
Can you listen to the fucking question?
You're a fucking celebrity, okay?
My question is, when you see another Asian, like you've never heard of before, let's say, for instance, like someone your age and who's also doing sketch, who's like maybe dabbling in stand-up, where you see like a younger like female like stand-up comedian, do you get your spikes go up, or are you more like, hey, like do you want to get to know them and nurture them? Or are you more like, what is this bitch about?
Like another stand-up?
Yeah, like do you feel like an initial threat, or do you feel
like an Asian girl that's cute?
Yeah.
Right. I think I'm curious.
What's wrong? Is it the cats?
I have a cough.
She's highly allergic to cats, by the way.
We gave her Allegra.
You okay?
No. I had an Allegra.
Okay,
thank you.
Good. Good.
Like, there's a San Francisco girl named Moon. You know her?
No. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We went and got tacos.
Yeah,
with
right.
Her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But she seems, you know, funny, right?
Yeah. I've never seen her perform.
Me either, but you can just tell, though.
Right.
Because of the way she's dressed. And that's another thing I was saying is that you can already tell that when she talks and the way she looks and who she's dating and how she behaves, that she's not a fucking fob.
Oh,
what is the real definition of a fob other than
fresh
off
the
boat?
Right?
I know.
So,
he said there's an energy.
There's two different kinds, all right? There's the literal kind of somebody that just came here. You know what I mean? They're from like, you know, Taiwan, right? And they have a thick accent and they...
And they shower once a week.
Yeah. That's, or whatever. Yeah. But they don't know
lack of indoor plumbing.
They don't know OK Computer.
Oh, come
on,
Bobby.
No, just listen to what I'm saying. They don't
Get
just
the
listen
fuck
to what I'm saying.
Here.
They've never seen a Wes Anderson movie. Oh. Shut the fuck up, man. I'm talking. I'm talking, okay? And they don't know who I am.
So who are you? Who you, sir?
Who you?
I think we finally figured out why you don't like fobs.
No.
They don't know who you are.
That's not why, right? No, but then there's that kind. And then there are the ones that were born here, right? I'm going to name a name, but I grew up with a guy named John, right? The nicest kid.
Jangu Bangu.
John Lee.
Jangu Bangu.
Yeah.
And
that's my brother.
That is, really?
Yeah.
And he always got straight A's. My parents would always go, why don't you hang out with him? He's smart. You get bad credit, you know, you do drug. That's why I don't hang out with him. Because he doesn't go out. All he does is read. He's going to become a doctor and whatever.
Don't they call those, like, so fobs are generally like the 1.5ers, right? That generation where they probably came to the U.S. right around like 13, 14. So they still retain all of their, like, they say, for instance, like for me, like they're, you know, like my accent or like my mannerisms. I didn't shave my legs. I was very like studious. And then...
But then you acclimated.
Yeah, but it took me a while. My accent was very, very thick most of my teen years, and I had like a weird look. I dressed not cool.
But then you started blowing guys.
I started blowing guys really quickly. I was really insecure about my fobbiness. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, fuck, let me just suck some dick.
You became American.
Oh my God, I was like, really? Because my parents never like talked about sex or anything of that sort, you know, so I had to figure a lot of stuff out on my own. And initially, when I first came from America, I would write boys letters like, hey, I like you, because that's what we did in the Philippines, right? Mm. That shit don't fly here.
Yeah.
Apparently, you don't write letters because you're a fucking weak bitch if you do that.
And
so I got rejected. And after each rejection, so I was like, oh, let me just suck your dick. And it worked.
Yeah.
The American way.
Yeah, it's American way. You just, just blow your way to, you know, out of your fobbiness.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Blow your way out of fobbiness.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden I wasn't a fob anymore. It was just a chicken head, you know?
That's what they should have that in like a booklet. Like an American booklet when you come
to
America.
What's the first thing for when you come to
It wouldn't be blowing, wouldn't be the first thing, but that would be like in the back pages.
Yeah.
like an asterisk and a little like red in red and tiny font.
Check this out.
Yeah, check
advanced.
This out.
Right,
yeah.
But
advanced,
meanwhile,
yeah.
writing a letter, you put so much heart into writing a letter. Yeah. Right?
Yeah, and I remember this one Puerto Rican guy named Gary. He was like, what the fuck is this?
Never met a Puerto Rican named
Gary. My name is Gary.
He's from New York, too.
No, he's not.
I was so in love.
Yeah.
And that was just not the way to go. But
I think letters are a woman thing.
No, I think it's a fob thing, maybe, because none of the kids in my high school
did it. Yeah, but she writes letters.
I write letters, and I was born here. I'm so embarrassed.
Yeah. But, like, so, you know, Moon is... you know, you can just tell. And
so how do you feel if you see, like, when you were younger? I know now you're a little bit better about seeing, like, another Asian on
TV. Okay, I'm going to just say this right now, okay? I'm going to just say this right now. Mm-hmm. When I did Jay Leno, right, the next day, a guy calls me, right, an Asian guy from New York. And he was represented by Barry Katz. You know Barry Katz?
Yeah.
And he goes, hey, dude, I just saw your Tonight Show, dude. I'm Korean, too. And you fucking killed it. I go, what? He goes, yeah, my name is Steve Byrne. He's half. Oh.
Wow.
I didn't even know him, mm-hmm. right? He goes, I begged my manager, he was rep by Barry Katz, to get your number. And, you know, I just want to be your friend.
No way.
That's yeah. cool.
And so... And I was like that when Ken Jeong, when I first saw Ken Jeong, mm-hmm. I go.
I sent Ken Jeong a MySpace message.
You did? Yeah.
So this was 10 years ago?
I said, he replied.
You're really funny. He said,
yeah.
thanks.
Yeah, yeah. So like you know, you see guys and you go, oh. But then when you see somebody that isn't doing it the way you want. Like there was a guy named Peter Chen. And you met Peter Chen,
yeah,
right?
I
feel so bad because Peter Chen was here during the 80s, during the boom, open mic. He had a thick accent. You know what I mean? You mm-hmm. can look. He has a documentary on YouTube yeah. about him. He oh. made it himself.
Oh, I thought, okay.
Right? And he, I mean, nice guy, just a terrible comedian. Mm-hmm. Thick accent. And he made up, like, you know, when hecklers, he made up lines that didn't make any sense. Right? So,
Hey, you suck.
All right, so anyway.
You suck,
saying,
Peter. You suck.
Oh, I'm going to put you on a rocket ship. You're going to go to the moon.
But.
that was his slam.
Yeah.
Like, he would write slams.
What would be another one?
What?
Would be another one? Hey, your mom is a gross, man.
I dig a hole in the ground. You go in, I dig you. You can dig your way out.
What the fuck, man? What the fuck, Peter? What does that mean?
Stuff like that. Like, stuff that you would go, oh, my God, that's so not funny.
Yeah.
You know, and then one day. I was at the open mic, and they used to put me up at the open mic, and he had signed up, and he had been there for 25 years or whatever. So I remember him approaching me, going, "This guy right here only been here for 2 years. I've been here for 25 years. You know, and he get to go up." Like, I go, "You're not funny."
Right? Oh
like,
my
so
god!
So it's like that with that kind of shit. I'm verbal about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When I see people that I think have, like, when I genuinely think that you have genuine, I can't look at you when I give you a compliment.
No, I can't.
I'm going to look to your right a little bit.
Esther.
No, I'm going to look at you, yeah, to the right a little bit. But Gilbert, I genuinely think that you have genuine talent and that you literally can make it. I feel that about Esther also.
I saw Gilbert at the CBS Diversity Showcase.
And he was
amazing.
I don't want this to be a fucking, we're God. The great, like, this is sounding sad, this fucking podcast, but I'm just saying, that's my point.
Okay, I barely give compliments. Let me just give one.
All right, that's true. So if you saw an Asian girl, Esther, if you saw an Asian girl that was good, that you would probably support her then.
You know what? I am always curious because there's so few of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I think it's good to embrace other people the way you embrace me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Has Margaret embraced you or no?
You know what? I stalked her one time.
Well, don't. Well,
yeah, but does she know who you are?
Well, she follows me on Twitter.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, she then does. She does.
Yeah.
She's so happy.
Yeah, yeah.
I did it.
I remember when her sitcom All American Girl got canceled.
Yeah.
And
you're probably a kid.
Yeah, I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was watching this on TV, and I remember thinking, like, this is a big deal. The first mm-hmm. Asian American to ever get a sitcom.
Huge right. deal.
It was huge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I remember they were interviewing her. They're like, so Margaret, what are you going to do now? And she's like, well, I'm just going to keep kicking ass till the next Asian American girl gets up here.
Yeah.
And I just, like, took that and, like.
I know.
Damn.
You know?
You're going to make me cry now.
I was like, oh, I'm going to. She's speaking to me. I just took it.
Yeah.
I have to say something right now, and I was going to save it for another podcast, but I can't. I'm sorry. But since you're here and Gilbert, you guys are here, something happened to me last week that was very humiliating for me. Mm. So I was at the Comedy Store with Nick Youssef. And he goes, hey, I'm gonna go do a show at the Laugh Factory. Can you drop me off? So I go, okay, you know what? I'm going to go eat at Greenblatt, so I'll just park. So I park my car, and with Nick Youssef and I, we walk into the Laugh Factory. And two people came up to me and goes, "Where's your ticket?" And I go, "What? Yeah, you need a ticket or get out."
The staff?
Yeah. And I go, "What?
They're kids, younger."
I don't.
Yo, don't.
Two people.
Don't feel bad. I saw Cat Williams get rejected from the Caroline's Christmas party, and he was in a full-length fur coat.
He's really trying to tell people he's Cat Williams.
Yeah.
And the girl was like, "What? Are you on the list?"
Yeah.
And she's just brand new. These people, they hire these clubs. But they don't feel bad.
That happened to him at the Laugh Factory too. That's what their point was. It happened to Cat, but that's not the point. No, that's not the point.
That's not it.
No. Whatever you're saying right now is doesn't make any fucking sense.
Okay, sorry. Go.
All right. Is if you're working at a comedy club in LA, let me just say this. I know I'm not Chris Rock. I know I'm not Louis C.K. I know where I'm at. All right? I'm at the bottom. Fine.
Bobby Lee, you were in a Wonder Girls music video.
All right, but shut the fuck up, all right? But when it comes to the Comedy Store and the Laugh Factory and the Improv here in L.A., since I've been here for 20 years and I've played those clubs for 20 years and I'm friends with the owner of the club, I've been around the country with the owner of the club. I know every single comic that performs there. I'm on the payroll, right? That you should, don't you think that they should know who I am or no?
Yes.
Probably.
Or at least whoever you put up to the front to deal with people coming in the door should at least be well-versed with who's who.
Yeah. So then
they
when
need,
it.
Yeah.
That's part of your job.
Don't apply for a job at a comedy club without doing your research to see who comedians are.
Or at least just the.
Especially the ones who perform at your club.
Yeah.
What did you say to them?
Or who's in the marquee down the street. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't. There's...
Well, I said it's so embarrassing. But then I go, I'm Bobby Lee. And he goes, "No, I don't what?"
Oh, God.
Oh, my.
So they don't even know the name.
Oh, my
right?
God.
What? So I go, I'm a comedian. Because I've never been in this situation.
So you're almost
so
like
I'm tongue-tied.
You're telling
so I'm blushing. So I'm sweating. And I go, I.
Did they recognize Nick Youssef?
No. They asked for his, and he was on the list.
Oh, God.
What the fuck?
Right? Yeah, he's on the list, right? So Nick goes, my ID, I'm performing here. And I'm like, I'm a comedian. Like, I couldn't get it out, right?
Hey, boss, we got a guy with Down syndrome in the front of the house. This Asian guy with Down syndrome.
And then I just kind of left the building. I just left.
Oh, my God.
And then I told the doorman who I knew. I go, they just asked for my ID. Yeah, you know, they're new. And then I texted everyone I knew.
Nice.
I texted Chris D'Elia, Eric Griffin, a bunch of people, Johnny Sanchez, going, they wouldn't let me in the Laugh Factory. And then I just said, I'll never go back there again.
Damn.
Over one person's...
Two.
Yes. Two. Yes, over one person.
That's the point.
Okay, that's the fucking point of the whole thing. Let me say something right now, okay?
Careful.
That's how people learn, okay? And also this. The same thing happened to me. I told you the story about in Seattle.
Oh, that's right.
At the Parlor Live.
Oh.
Have I told that story here on the podcast before?
Yeah, you can
say
it again.
Yeah.
It's been a while. I'll say the story again. I do a show at the Parlor Live. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, but it's not a big room. I sold out every show. I'm sorry. I have to say it. Sold out every fucking show. Okay? I do one show, kill it.
Uh-huh.
Go to my hotel room to take a shower. I go back to the second show. And I walk into the club. And the doorman puts his arm out, grabs me, and pulls me out of the club. We're sold out.
Oh my God.
Right? And Jesus. Every comic that I tell this to, they said, why don't you just say that you're the headliner? No.
Bobby Lee doesn't work like that.
The headliner shouldn't have to tell them
right.
who the headliner is. Everybody on staff should know who the headliner is and
VIP.
Know what their picture looks like.
Exactly. Yeah. And also, this is also fun for me. So when he puts his arm around me, I'm like, this is amazing.
You like it.
Because this is about to turn into something. There's a confrontation that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I want to see what I'm going to do. So what I do is I go, I kind of push him aside and I continue to walk in the club.
Yeah, John Wick.
Without saying anything.
Was he bigger than you?
Way bigger. He was like this American Indian dude.
Oh, they're big.
He had long hair, right? And as I'm walking in the club, he's now in front of me walking backwards.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa, you deaf, man? You dab, man, right? You know, I'm just, I'm walking. You know,
Why are you both walking like that?
Because we just both are, right? Then he finally stops me in my tracks and he goes, ow. So I leave. Meanwhile, I'm supposed to be on stage. And as I'm walking out of the club, I go, oh yeah, all right, fine, I'm leaving. But tell Ruben, cancel the show. He goes, why? Because I'm the headliner. And I just leave. Right?
And Mike. Didn't do the show?
No, wait.
Mike dropped.
No, of course I'm going to do the show. But I'm like milking it, right? So I'm walking away, and then he's now looking at like the pictures. You
know, like, he's freaking out.
No, he's like, oh my God, that is him or whatever. And he starts getting angry. Why didn't you tell me? And I'm screaming back, look at the fucking thing. You know what I mean? All the posters. Right? So then I go up on stage. I go back. I get in the club. And then when I get off, it's amazing. There's people in the green room that I've never seen before. Mm. You're talking about the guy that owns the whole building. You know what I mean? Like investors. You know what I mean? They're all there. And they're like all learning, we're so sorry, we fired him. And I go, no! I felt guilty, mm-hmm. right? So then I spent 24 hours begging to get that guy's job back.
Are you serious?
Yeah, so it could have been.
That's how Bobby works.
Yeah, that's how I work. So it could have been, it could have been as simple as this. I'm the headliner. I just walked in and did my show and nothing. I had to do this complete fucking chaos, and it's so fun to do, and I enjoy it. You know what I mean? So with this Laugh Factory thing, I'm never going back until somebody apologizes.
Get it.
What? You don't get it?
I mean, I do.
You do get it, right?
You're a drama queen. That's not, really what
no,
it comes down to.
No, he's just asking for the respect.
No, but he really likes, he loves to make a bigger fuss about it. Trust me.
Make a point.
Beyond that,
he wants people to learn a lesson.
He loves the drama.
It's not drama. That's a weird way of saying it. I enjoy a spectacle.
A spectacle. It's like performance art. It's a performance.
It's a performance art. Thank you so much.
There you go.
And let me tell you something.
Right, friends again, huh? You bet.
Yeah, I like that.
I don't like this.
I like that a lot. And so well, this podcast, right?
We're not done yet. I'm just looking for the
question. I'm not even close to being done.
Okay.
I'm just going to just, I have a comment I want to make about so far the podcast.
Yeah.
Is that it started off really sad.
Sad. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm still kind of sad about it.
We're sad for this episode?
Yeah, when you're, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't remember
what happened?
What happened in the beginning?
I'm high.
Are you really high?
Yeah.
You are high right now?
Oh my God, you know how much it took me not to smoke weed at the funeral?
Oh my God.
I went sober.
You did?
Why did you go sober? Just to, I feel like maybe you would even smoke more too.
Because if I smoked, I would have like bawled my eyes out.
Got you.
Yeah.
How do you get high? Do you smoke a vape?
A pipe. Joints.
So you smoke every day? You seem like you smoke every day.
Do you use it for therapeutic purposes or?
Yeah,
just...
it stabilizes.
How do you perform high though?
It's better.
It is?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, let me not drag you into the deep end.
Yeah.
Because the highs from the audience, you know, their laughter just mm-hmm. like carries you home.
Oh, but how do you remember your jokes and stuff?
You actually have a better memory on weed.
You do?
I do.
Yeah, because Jordan Peele used to smoke pot mm-hmm. and do sketches like live, you know, and I'd be like...
On Matt TV?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Cool. There was this one time where Ike and I were... Jordan had, like, no line. He was just a waiter in some sketch. And he was so high that he had to bring in a... he had just a glass of water on a tray.
Yeah.
But he was so high, right? He was just teetering like this. And we were laughing so hard because we knew that he was, and it just shatters all over the ground. Yeah. Because he was so high. It was so funny. But but he can perform that way. You can. I don't know if I can. But Joe Rogan can.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think.
But I've never tried.
Joe That's Rogan smokes weed before he works out.
Yeah.
So I started doing that.
You did?
Yeah.
And it works?
Me and my kettlebell.
It's very Joe Rogan of you.
Are you high from the beginning to the end of night then?
24/7
I mean, not all the time.
Like when you shoot your show with Manon and those guys, are you high?
Sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Do they know you're high?
Probably.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, wow, what is, it's so hard to, the guy, the last guy that I dated, the guy I was with for like 5 years, I mean, he smoked, as soon as we wake and bake. It's like from beginning, it's all day, but I didn't see a personality, like I never really noticed.
Yeah, some people. Because
he just went
like
about
that.
His day. I never really thought anything of it.
No, stoners are portrayed a certain way in movies and TV shows to be stupid and forgetful and idiots. But, you know, I show up to work.
Yeah, you seem very clear to me right now.
Yeah, I show up to work because weed is is medicine and it stabilizes me.
Yeah.
And it helps calms my anxiety down so that I can be normal with people.
Yeah.
What about like auditions? You can do it still?
Yeah, I feel looser.
Wow.
Wow. And you know, like, and you know all the lines and everything like that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Or sometimes I'll improvise a little bit and it helps me.
Oh, wow.
I think.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Maybe I should relapse.
I don't want to.
That's always like, I think down the
Thank you, Esther, for getting Bobby Lee to relapse. Yeah.
Down the road, I think that that's going to be off of the no-no list. Because I feel like, okay, you guys are still allowed to smoke as many cigarettes as you want, right, in AA?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I feel like that's just so much like far more detrimental to your health and like wellness compared to smoking marijuana. So it's just a matter of
I think that if it was just marijuana, but it's a gateway. It's just a gateway.
It's not a gateway. I don't do other drugs.
I know for alcoholics though.
I think that the only reason it's a gateway is because it's ingrained in your mind and our society's idea of it's a drug. So you use that capital D word over and over again your whole life. So yeah, it is a gateway. But if it's, let's suppose marijuana had always been treated like cigarettes and you've been told, oh, it's just a, you know, recreational thing that people do, I guarantee you wouldn't consider it a gateway. The only reason it's a gateway is because your brain is told it's a drug.
This is so dangerous. This
no, I'm not saying you
so
should
dangerous.
I wouldn't.
I can see you're thinking about it.
No, it's
does that make sense?
No, it's literally the most dangerous thing I've ever heard in my life, and my face is sweating now. And
For instance,
this right here is fucking Soviet propaganda bullshit.
Can I explain something?
It's fucking Steve Bannon. It's all the whole thing, man.
For instance, like LSD has a lot of anti-addictive properties, right? A lot of these drugs that were considered to be terrible things have anti-addictive properties and help people actually get sober. So, you know, it's kind of a very gray area.
I understand that. But here's the thing, okay, is that since the 12 steps were created in 1935 in Akron, Ohio, right, they've had a lot of trials and errors, right? And they've had, you know, it's not as if this movement started a year ago, right? So over the years, millions and millions of people have tried it in different kinds of ways. And at the end of the day, they came up with this thing. It's not because they want to be controlling or, you know, or it's not a philosophy that certain segment of the, it's believed throughout because it's been tested.
Okay, but right? My question is, if it was something that was, you know, established in 1935, shouldn't something established in 1935 adjust to something that's happening in 2017 or all this scientific knowledge that we've garnered over the years?
I've been to AA meetings and they're super religious.
No, you could say that.
It's all about God and stuff.
Yeah, it's not about God.
Or, I don't know, so you guys do something with God.
I can't wait for your eulogy at your funeral.
Yeah,
so God, Bob's like, God. Peace.
Yeah. I mean,
something with God.
Are there more like progressive, like AA types who are kind of experimenting with the really hard lines between the no drugs and like the other acceptable things?
Well, they did do it in the 60s.
Okay, so in the 60s, think about the drugs that were available in the 60s. Okay,
there was marijuana.
I don't think LSD acid. Was yeah, LSD
huge,
already in the 60s? Okay,
huge.
LSD.
LSD has been around since even before that, the 40s.
Yeah.
Yeah, so even Bill W., the founder, experimented with LSD. So, you know, it's first of all, it's not God, right? Like, there's some
power.
I don't know. All right, we have to get into it then. When you're you have to understand that when people get into AA, they've lost everything. They're generally mostly the first 100 were people that were on the precipice of wet brain, or they were streetwalkers, hobos, right? And they had tried every single thing throughout their whole life and nothing worked, okay? And so the one thing that they did try, which was that first 100, which was sitting together, having a meeting once a day, right? And doing these steps, right? Got them long-term sobriety. So it worked, and the reason why it worked was because number one, when you don't have anything and you tried to control your drinking and it didn't work, so you're powerless, right? I can't do it. Nothing I've done works.
But it's the best way to meet other people who still drink.
What do you mean?
AA.
What is it? What does
right?
that
mean? Don't people like meet there and then go off the rails?
No.
No?
I don't know.
Or are they like? You mean people who relapse and stuff
I've
like
seen
that.
That in movies though.
I know. I know, but
it happens in every movie.
I know, but
see.
Okay, just listen to what I'm saying, okay? Mm-hmm. So I can't do it. There's nothing I've done, mm-hmm. right? So then you come to a program like AA and they go, well, we have a solution. What is it? Well, a power greater than yourself has to remove the addiction, mm-hmm. right?
Your subconscious mind.
Maybe. Whatever it might be. But they call it a higher power, okay? And when you do the steps, there's this thing that happens in the beginning of the, especially in the beginning of the big book, there's the doctor's opinion. There's a doctor, Silkworth. He specializes in alcoholism. Mm-hmm. He says what happens with people in AA is there's a psychic change, a spiritual awakening that happens that they believe. Sometimes it's a flash of light. Sometimes it's an overwhelming feeling, but the obsession becomes removed. Something that you think of every day, and it gets completely removed by doing these steps. I don't know why, but it happened for me. It happened for my brother, right? And without it, without those principles, I know for myself that if I smoke pot, I'm going to drink. Mm-hmm. I know that. And I'm going to eventually go back to opiates, and then my life falls apart.
So don't.
That's what I'm saying. So that's why I don't do it. I know myself, and I know what I would do.
Yeah.
You know? And maybe AA and NA are only for real chronic alcoholics, but...
I think that it really appeals to... It helps for a specific type of person. Because, you told me that... What is it like? The success rate of AA is really only what, like, at 5%, mm-hmm. or like 5% actually, stays
in recovery
sober,
in general.
In recovery,
though.
Yeah.
Not in just AA, in recovery in general is a 5%.
Wow.
Right.
Shit.
Okay.
And there are probably people with a certain type of, however they think is a perfect match for the 12-step program, whereas other people who are
no. What I mean 5% is that 95% of people. They either die in prison, on the streets, or through some sort of medical thing because of their drug addiction and alcoholism.
95%?
Of alcoholics and drug addicts.
That seems really high.
It's not, it's a factual thing. You know what I mean?
God, it's so dark and sad now.
No, I'm just defending. I need to defend.
Yeah.
I'm just defending.
You don't have to defend it. We believe
you're,
you.
You're in the top 5%.
No, it's just,
Kyle.
Here's what it is, though. I know, but, you know, you and I have had these conversations before, sweetie. And, I haven't been to a meeting in a year,
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm kind of a dry drunk. Like, I'm on the precipice of...
Well, time to go to a meeting.
Maybe relapsing. But, so I'm trying to hang on to whatever I have to stay sober. You know what I mean? So this is my last... You know, I'm defending the foundations of what I learned to be true.
If we ever have these discussions about it, it's not because we're trying to, like... you know, reel you into the dark side. It's really kind of to just understand living with an addict. At least for me, when I question things about why can't you, you know, use anti-addictive drugs? You know, they're proven to be scientifically anti-addictive. Why can't you smoke marijuana when it does this and that? These are all, this is just my questions living with a partner who's an addict and I don't understand it. So I'm going to have questions. It's not because I'm trying to bring you in and somehow like live.
No, if you've made it 14 years, yeah, you'll be fine. You're not going to go back.
But also,
yeah, but I mean, I'll be honest with you. When you say, right, when you say,
see, I'm not an alcoholic.
I understand that. But just listen to what I'm saying. OK, you're being very combative with me right now. OK,
really?
No, I'm kidding. You got so nervous. Really? No, what I'm saying is that it there are times where it like because of the marijuana laws that changed, you know, how easily accessible it is when you go to like Seattle and they have like marijuana bars now where you could go to a menu and you know
it's huge.
All that I loved marijuana and I'd love to do it, you know, I would love to go to Colorado and own a marijuana farm,
right? So it's appealing,
yeah, so there is a there's a slight temptation there to go there, but I have to remind myself that
I have self-control. I don't drink. I smoke. I can smoke and not drink or not do cocaine.
The way you said that was like fucking cocky. All right. Do you have questions? What are we at? Where are we at? Where are we at?
Hour.
Over an hour? Yeah. Wow, that was a good... You know what?
I like it.
I'm sorry. I'm sweating.
You know what? You got really serious there, and I felt your energy, and I'm being honest with you. Yeah. You need to go to a meeting this week.
I can't.
Oh, I'm going to make you, because this shit made me nervous just now.
Yeah,
I've never really seen
you. Where,
I
don't know where to go.
Look online.
The same one or no?
The same ones.
I can't.
Oh.
It's drama there, but let's not get into it. He doesn't want to run into somebody. Oh, yeah, there's a spectacle.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't want to run into somebody.
Unhelpful advice.
You love being a spectacle.
Unhelpful advice.
You love being a
Bobby
Kalana.
Stop fucking interrupting this thing. Fuck.
Unhelpful advice with Bobby, Kalila, and you.
Wow.
Hello everyone at Tiger Belly. I'm a new fan and I love the podcast. Around the years of preschool, my sister and I became sexually active towards each other. Our parents.
Wait, who?
When preschool.
Preschool.
But his brother and sister?
Yeah, brother and sister.
His sister and himself. His sister and himself.
Weird. Yeah.
Around the years of preschool, my sister and I became sexually active towards each other.
Oh my God.
Our parents caught on to our acts early enough to intervene through child counseling for about a year. The activity between my sister and I had ceased. However, it started to happen with other child relatives. This caused silent turmoil throughout the entire family. The numerous sexual acts were known, but no one ever spoke of it. To the point where my sister and I were hated kind of for the start of this all. Weird sentence. I'm 23 years old now, and I haven't spoken to any of my family in 5 years. My sister is a mother now, also with no contact with our family. My question is, how do you move on from a dark past?
It's okay.
It's not a dark past.
It's not a dark past because if you're a preschooler and anything that you do under the age of 10, that hypersexuality is so normal, but no one talks about it. So it becomes this like taboo subject. But experimenting with other kids your age, whether it's your sister or not, like I feel like that's just not
They're
talked
carrying
about.
All this shame with
them. But there's no shame in that.
Before you read it, I said it was weird. You know what? Now when I heard the whole thing, it's not weird. Let me just say something, okay? It's natural. I've done shit that I can't even talk about.
I know.
You don't know.
Oh, other things. Yeah, we haven't talked about it. Let's never talk about that.
I know, but I know. I've done shit.
And Bob is just kidding.
Yeah.
Well, it was over the age of 10, so it gets a little bit
weird
after that.
But I've done shit that, like, you know what I mean, is unfathomable. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and it's just growing up, man.
Do you remember being, like, hypersexual when you were younger, like, with other kids, right?
We would lay down on the floor, and my mom would, like, walk over us in a dress, and when we saw her panties, we'd be like, ooh.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think that's just
normal.
Oh, wow,
that's a good game. That's a good Korean game. That's an old traditional Korean game.
So he's 23 now. His family is like he's completely disconnected to his family. His sister's disconnected to his family. Mm-hmm. How do you get over that?
Yeah.
You make new friends who are more family to you than your old family was. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if they're going to continue to make you feel ashamed of something that you did as a
then
child,
then you don't need them as
then
family.
Then you don't. You're right. That's they're unhealthy to you.
They're unhealthy. Yeah, they say, you know, my therapist says that in dysfunctional families, the scapegoat is always the healthiest.
Mm. That makes sense. That makes absolute sense.
And in dysfunctional families, the victim is always the villain, and the villain is always the victim.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a great therapist. She's famous.
Is she is she in LA?
Yeah.
Can I get in?
Oh my God.
Can I get in?
Yeah.
I need a therapist, mm-hmm. I think. I have a lot of problems.
I'll refer you. I'll email you.
Please. Mm-hmm.
She's amazing.
I'm gonna do it. Also, you have any other questions?
Your family dynamic, when that whole thing happened with your cousin, the whole like dick sucking thing or whatever.
Don't say that again.
Okay. What I'm saying is, did it pull you guys apart? Did it tear?
I want to be friends with all my family.
But are there some that like?
I don't know. You know what? I don't think I'm close to any of them right now.
You have your brother.
Sad. I have my brother, and that's it. And it's sad. I love Eddie. He's one of my younger cousins.
Can you be my brother?
I'll be your brother for sure. I am your brother.
Mm. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a show that I saw, I've been addicted to, and I really recommend it to anybody because it's a cry fest.
It's a cry fest for sure.
Long Lost Family.
Mm-hmm. We've talked about it a few times.
I know, but the new season just came out. And the first episode, oh man.
Gotcha.
You got me?
Oh, he got you?
Oh my God. Last night I was in my hotel room, just tears. Coming down my face.
Calls me at 4 a.m. You have to watch this episode. Yeah. Please watch it.
It's so good.
It was really sad. Yeah.
And it's always like, I mean, no one's going to see it, so I'm just going to tell you what it is. But there's this one of them where it's like, this girl, obviously she was 17. She got pregnant. Her mom made her give the son up for adoption. It's 30 years later. And then they find the son. And because she, they give her a letter that her mom, and then he's reading the letter on camera, and he's genuinely like just shaking and crying. Mm-hmm. And it's so sad.
That's sad.
And good.
But very, very.
I'm gonna watch it. I love sad movies.
Yeah, they're really good.
It's a TV show.
Like each episode too. Like it's just very rewarding at the end. Sometimes not always, because yesterday the daughter that she adopted out didn't want to meet her. Remember?
There's another story. There's always two stories. Yeah, one of them. Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't always a happy ending, but for the most part, it's like just a sob fest, and it feels real good inside.
Okay, so now do you have anything to plug for you?
Yes. You can plug my podcast, Coup and the Gang.
Mm-hmm. Coup and the Gang. When am I gonna get on it?
Let's do it.
When though?
Unje. 지금.
Like this week?
아니, 지금.
You can do 지금. Anything next week, maybe.
Maybe next week.
Let's do next week.
Yeah, let's do next week. And then your show?
Yeah, look out for Sorry Not Sorry.
Sorry Not Sorry.
On Seriously.tv with Manon, Hannah, and Tracy.
Mm-hmm.
We're having so much fun working on it. And go to funnycoup.com.
Funnycoup.com?
Yep.
Okay. Anything for anybody else?
Your shows?
Bobby will be at Houston Improv March 3rd through the 5th.
Yeah.
And later at the end of March, you're going to be at Santa Ana Casino in New Mexico. For more dates, go to BobbyLeeLive.com.
Yeah. And then
we have our merch out
this
too.
Week is going to be a terrible week.
It's not. You're busy. How is being busy a terrible thing?
I hate it.
He doesn't want to go to any of his auditions.
This is him.
When things are dry and he's not going out, I'm out. Like, my career's over. And then he starts, pilot season, he gets auditions, and then it's even worse. It's more of a spectacle. He doesn't want to go to any of
them. Cancel
this is torture. I don't know if I'm going to cancel.
I sent my sister into an audition. I didn't want to go.
Are you fucking kidding me?
That's amazing.
No.
That's amazing.
So you rely on their racism. They're like, yeah, she looks about the same.
It was in New York.
That's
really?
Amazing. Wow. How'd she do?
Not good.
She booked the National.
Hilarious.
Imagine if she booked it.
That's amazing. That's a good one.
I'm doing Roast Battle March 28th at the Comedy Store.
Oh, nice. Good. That's good, too.
Yeah.
Are you having writers, or are you doing it yourself?
I'm doing it myself.
Yeah, do you know who you're up against already?
Yes.
Who?
Alex Dung.
Who's that?
He's an Asian comedian.
I know him.
You know him?
Yeah.
Will you be our judge?
I'll judge.
Ooh, Asian special.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you for. Oh, also this T-shirt.
Thank everyone.
People are.
Oh, that's right. Thank you so much, you guys, for buying all this merchandise. We're about at the very tail end of
probably
selling out.
100 yeah. shirts left, almost.
Less than that.
So
there's only 20 shirts left for the white flap. One. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Get those. It's great.
So thank you for killing it.
Anything else, Kalila?
Nothing for Bobby. I'm good.
All right. So make sure you follow us on Tiger Belly on Instagram at Tiger Belly and on Twitter at TheTigerBelly and email us any questions at thetigerbelly@gmail.com. George, anything?
Good. All right. Thank you.
Bye, guys. Thank you. Ciao.